This is Modern Mavericks, a podcast and newsletter for those of us who want more than just a job. I'm your host and career coach, Janelle Ibrahami. Whether you're a corporate go-getter, an entrepreneurial spirit, or a powerful blend of both, you're in the right place. I'm sharing actionable advice on how to take your career power back and build something you're proud of. Together, we'll help you create a career that's meaningful and meant for you, because you're a maverick. Let's get started. Hello, Mavericks. It's here. The Career Confessions interview we've all been so eagerly waiting for. But really, thank you all so much for your excitement around this. It's been so fun to tell you about the event and the live podcast recording, and now to finally bring it to everyone who couldn't be there in person. But let me give you some context. Let me back up in case you have no idea what I'm talking about. Last week, I really hit a career milestone, it feels like, interviewing the one and only Cheval in collaboration with Kendra Scott Soho. Cheval is a woman you might know by a different name from a show called Say Yes to the Dress and a different career. And the three of us, Cheval, the Kendra Scott team, and I designed a really powerful, inspiring live podcast event at the Kendra Scott Soho store to share my and Cheval's top tips for reclaiming your career and taking fresh steps in 2024. The event was just phenomenal. It was such an inspiring evening. It was packed. There were so many amazing takeaways, and the line to get into the Kendra Scott store was spanning two New York City blocks. The store was completely at capacity for the entire two-hour event. It was really just an incredible, incredible evening. And it's not surprising that so many folks showed up and showed out that night. Cheval's story is just so inspiring. She has a story of career setback that she turned into true reinvention, both personally and professionally. And just sitting down with her was the tip of the iceberg, really, of inspiration and applicable takeaways to really help anyone build and grab onto the confidence to go big this year, to finally get in the driver's seat of your own career and be known for what you want to be known for, to take that risk, to start something new, to finally try out that job or that field that you've always been curious about. Cheval is a true example of what it looks like to be the author of your own story. And my hope is by listening to our conversation, you remember that you're the author of your own story too. Coming up in this episode, we talk about everything, our secrets, our career secrets, specifically where to look for clues on what kind of career will make you happiest, who to invite into your network and hang on to for that crucial ongoing support we all need to feel confident in our careers, and how to Taylor Swiftify your own personal brand to help you have more fun at work, to help you have more fun in this career or business that you're building, and to get people really excited to join your world, and that and so much more. Before we get into it, I have to give the Kendra Scott team a huge shout out and a lot of love because they are making this conversation even more special for all of us. For the next week, depending on when you're listening to this episode, 20% of your purchase from kendrascott.com will actually go to a Girl You Might Know Foundation. That is Cheval's nonprofit, A Girl You Might Know Foundation, to protect the rights of women and young artists by sharing knowledge and experience about the contracting process and our rights under the law. As you can imagine, that is a mission very near to Cheval's heart, and Kendra Scott has amazing give back partners with the Cheval team. So if you use the code, one word, giveback-glowup24, that's one word, giveback-glowup24 at checkout at kendrascott.com. 20% of your purchase will go to a Girl You Might Know Foundation. And that is valid from January 19th to January 25th, 2024. Such an incredible way to honor our conversation. I won't build it up anymore. Let's get into Cheval's career confessions on how to own your career glow up for 2024.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. We are meeting again after a pretty incredible event at the Kendra Scott Soho store. How are you feeling after last night?
I was beside myself looking at the line around the block. It was just such a symbolic fresh start to 2024.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so that's actually what we're getting into today, is talking about how to make the most of out of our 2024, specifically when it comes to our career aspirations and our career goals. So many of us start a fresh year thinking like, this is my year. This is the year I'm finally going to get that new job. I'm going to start the business. I'm going to make a name for myself. But a lot of times we just lack the traction, or we lack the clarity, or knowing what to do to actually make it happen. So that's why you and I are sitting down together to talk about three specific things that, in my opinion, you can use to get pretty much anything you want in your career. I actually call this the lucky girl career formula. And it's career clarity on what you actually want, strong positive relationships, and some sort of personal brand where you stand out for what you're amazing at. So why don't we dig into each of those pillars as they related to your career, and any advice and wisdom you can share for people who are trying to figure out their own lucky girl career in 2024.
I'm here. I love that formula.
Amazing. To start off, where so many bright, capable people usually fall short of actually achieving their career goals is just lacking the clarity on where they really want to go. Why do you think clarity is the most important first step in having your dream career?
Oh, good question. I feel like being a chaos tamer is like something I focused on for this year, because there are just so many distractions. And I find that if you can really focus on something, it's a superpower. We cannot rely anymore on just motivation, because there are days when we're just not going to be motivated. So I think where focus goes, energy flows, and you have to be very selective in where you put your energy. Because if you're burning energy where it's just not producing results, it is just essentially wasted resource. And I do think we get caught up in thinking, well, what is this clarity? And I feel it just comes down to simplifying and really distilling to what is it that you want to say. You know, what are your specialties? What are you exceptional at? And let's double down on that, and let's have a clear focus and have something to come back to every time we get distracted.
So practically speaking, how did you really focus in on your zone of genius, or what you really wanted to say, when you made this career pivot a couple of years ago?
For me, it was really thinking about, what is my biggest goal? And originally, when I was growing up, it was, okay, I want to be a wedding dress designer, very specific. And I followed that dream, and I put a lot into that specific thing. But over time, I realized what really attracted me to it was that I liked making women, or helping them, feel good about themselves, especially on this big magical day. And when you look at it from that 10,000 foot view, it actually is a very transferable purpose or a goal. And when I was limited on what I was allowed to do under a 5-year unpaid non-compete, I decided, well, there is a way to still achieve that bigger goal of making women feel good about themselves. And I can do that through a new creative medium, which was shoes. So when I think about that in terms of a general piece of advice for people, I think it's good to kind of have that macro look at your life and your gifts and what you can do, and realize there's so many different ways to come to that outcome.
Yeah.
You know, and then that makes it less limited for you.
Yeah. There's a quote that I really love that says, be steadfast in your goals, but flexible in your methods.
And so love that.
It sounds like in this pivot, this era of transformation, when you really reclaimed your professional power after being limited in such a dramatic way, you realized that your goal was actually much broader than designing wedding dresses, and that you got to be a little bit more flexible in your methods in achieving that goal, which was to make women feel beautiful and sparkly and their best selves.
Exactly. I'm going to remember that.
What other advice do you have for someone who may be listening, who is just really struggling to pinpoint a purpose in what they do in their work every day?
I think giving yourself a little bit of grace, because there is this pressure to just feel like, okay, you have to know what you want to do, and then you just got to focus on it every single day. And while I do subscribe to the idea that the more you do something, the better you're going to get at it, I do feel like, again, being flexible with your methods is what it comes down to. And giving yourself that space to kind of control the things that you can control, not be distracted, and not feel like the circumstances are really determining where you're going, but manifesting your own destiny in that way. Something I like to think about is not being tied to outcomes, and going through a lawsuit and having so much of my identity felt stripped from me. I realized that thinking about controlling my journey and deciding my next step, and pun intended, but my literal movement forward in sparkling new shoes, it was a way for me to say, I'm going to control what I can, and I'm going to embrace and be mindful in this journey so that I'm not thinking so far in the future about what needs to happen in order for me to continue moving forward every day.
Interesting. Okay, so we heard having a long-term goal, still thinking long-term, but really focusing on what's right in front of you as a means of not getting overwhelmed by what could be a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, when, let's be honest, very few of us can control the actual 5-year outcome, the 10-year outcome.
Divorcing outcomes are really, it's like, I've had a few divorces in my life, and one of them is divorcing outcomes.
Interesting. You know? More about that.
I think it's really just thinking about not being reliant on something to happen in order for you to keep working towards your goals every day.
Interesting. So like getting in the driver's seat of your own circumstance.
Perfectly said.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of people listening or watching, maybe in that really critical moment when they realize something's got to change. Maybe it's of their own desire, of their own design, or maybe it's an outcome that they couldn't control and now they just have to make the best of it. But they're looking forward and thinking, wow, I'm in for a huge pivot. I'm in for a change and I'm really scared. What advice would you offer to a person who's afraid of what awaits them on the other side?
Change is definitely scary. And I feel we all really covet and nurture the comforts in life, right? And it's obvious that, you know, in order to grow, you have to kind of experience a bit of transition and things that you're not used to and stepping out of your comfort zone. It's so easier said than done. So I think the first step is really just recognizing that there is something going on that needs to pivot or needs to reimagine or reinvent. That's stage one. I think looking to the inspirations around you, the community, wherever you can pull a little bit of confidence is a big part of it. But I also just feel if you approach it from a perspective of this is a fresh chapter and this is my chance to kind of flip the script and start rewriting the story that I really want to tell, it puts this shine on it that doesn't feel as scary. And a lot of times I think people stop at information. You know, they're like, okay, I know I have to do this, but it's the actionable bit of it. And so I think mindset is a big part of that. And then really putting a pen to paper in the way of like, let's make some actionable things we can physically do each day to start inching toward that change.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we think back a couple of years ago, when your life pretty much got turned upside down and your career got turned upside down, how did you personally move from information to action when you knew you needed to make a change?
I went for low-hanging fruit, to be perfectly honest, because it was so overwhelming that it caused me to kind of retreat a little bit, because in my brain, it did feel like a fall from grace. I felt like my dream was crushed, you know, and my identity was challenged, and my sense of self and my purpose and all these things, that it was really easy to go back to these gratitude measures of, well, I am very healthy. I have my health. I have my incredible fiance and dog. I have my family, you know, and like these bare basics that are not so basic. They're actually these foundational pillars. And as a creator, what I did was I looked at my journey and I thought about all of these imaginative and fantastical inspirations I had as a child. So this bit of nostalgia that I found comfort in. And that's actually what helped inspire the very first collection of my shoes. everything has kind of this nostalgic nuance, not in glorifying the past, because I don't feel like your past is a place of residency, it's a place of reference, right? And so that's what I did. I went and pulled from that, and I realized, wow, there was all these chapters before this, you know, big chapter of me living out my dream that I need to remember and honor. And so that's kind of what I did there. You know, not to live in the past, not to live in the future and be tied to outcomes, but to be very present and then pull those bits and pieces that would help me kind of move forward.
Oh my gosh. That was a mic drop moment. Well,
I love it.
The past is a place of reference, not a place of residence. That's huge. I think something you just mentioned that was super important as well and goes into the next pillar of the Lucky Girl career formula are your relationships. You mentioned your fiance, you mentioned your support system. And something that I hear so often as a career coach from people who know that they want to make a change is the regret of wishing that they had kept their network warm when they didn't need a job, right? That, it's so often to think, all right, I need something now. Shoot, who do I reach out to? I haven't fostered these relationships. But instead, staying proactive so that you stay ready. You don't have to scramble when you're in a position for something new. How have you consciously fostered really strong relationships around you?
Such a good point, and something to think about every day is investing in your community and really paying attention to the people that want to see you succeed and aren't going to be threatened by that success. And it can be very hard to decipher that. I'm a very open-minded and like wear my heart on my sleeve person. And for a long period of time, I really trust people right away. Mm-hmm. And I've had to flip that a bit because you do learn a lot about somebody the more you get to know them. And there's always something that you'll never know, right? But I think we only know what we know, and being able to rely on people as a resource and to be our source for our blind spots and just provide that bit of knowledge and wisdom, I think is invaluable. Mm-hmm. For me, I am so lucky to have a supportive family and a fiance and be in this kind of situation where they're not afraid to tell me something when I'm doing something wrong. But they also shower so much support and love that it gives me accountability, right? It makes me feel like I don't want to obviously let myself down, but I certainly don't want to let these people down that believe in me, you know? And that's also what my community did for me in my big, you know, reinvention and having to start a new Instagram, was that like these people were there. Yeah. And they were like, we're coming with you, and okay, you can't design wedding dresses, but there's other things, and we want that from you. And going into shoes where it's a lot more inclusive, I can reach more women that aren't just engaged. You know, it was this beautiful blessing, and it held me really accountable to say, you know, I am not actually a victim of the circumstance. This is a situation I never expected. It's unprecedented, but how lucky I am to have this muse and this inspiration right here waiting for it and counting on it. Yeah. So that, I think, is a really special thing. And your point on nurturing and fostering the community when you don't need anything mm-hmm. is also a superpower, I think. But you have to put the time in. You know, you have to keep making those checkpoints with people and just being supportive and present for them as well. So that, you know, if there is that moment in time, they'll be there mm-hmm. for you.
Absolutely. I love that you just brought up the concept of a muse. Whether you have a muse or your own muse. And you and I were having kind of like a side conversation last night about the universe of She Is Cheval. And I think that's actually a universal concept that a lot of women can adopt for their own professional lives, their own careers. But if you, instead of thinking about, okay, I have a job and I have my personal life and they're so separate and my job has to look like this linear path that I've always thought I was gonna do since freshman year of college, right? But instead think of, what does my universe look like? How does my muse manifest itself in all these different ways? And how can that be a personal brand? How can that be a business? How might I monetize part of that? How might I bring some of that muse into my day job if it's a 9-to-5? What do you think about like creating your own world in which you just get to play and it kind of becomes your professional purpose?
I love it. And last night during our event, you mentioned Taylor Swift. And it's just, it's really profound, I think, to create an atmosphere around you where people feel safe, they feel like they belong, and they feel like they can still be themselves. And I don't really know exactly what that formula is. Maybe it is the lucky girl formula in a lot of ways. But I think putting yourself out there and showing a bit of vulnerability is always good. But I do think there are people that will take advantage of vulnerabilities. So that is a topic in itself. But especially as a designer, it's imperative for me because I really do pull from my environment. I pull from the community. And part, I think, of being in the influencer space or in a leadership type of space, you have to be a good listener and you have to be open to that feedback because you are there to serve in a lot of ways. And yes, I'm there to definitely be imaginative and play and create and do all these things, but I think it is very cyclical. And that's where that atmosphere comes in, is it's like your environment around you has to feel safe. It has to feel fruitful and collaborative in that sense.
So we definitely talked about your support system, the folks who have always been your ride or die, who are showing up for you, who are following a new Instagram without any details immediately, and your family. But there's also a segment of kind of like your professional tribe or your community that are the folks that you draw inspiration from, that you do collaborate with, perhaps like on a collection or on a pop-up or an event. How do you find those like-minded people who share your values, who share the same passion, and are just genuine good people that you can trust?
Yeah, it's a magnet for sure. I think where you gravitate and what you're attracted to has a lot to do with inspiration and aspirational value. And when I think of like Kendra Scott, I think of your brand. You know, I think there is a bit of organic authenticity and that like magnetism that you can't really explain, and you sense it. I was actually reading this thing on TikTok the other day that was about the Spain scale of human emotion. And it was saying that authenticity is actually the most powerful energy emitted from a human. And I thought it was going to be love, but it's actually authenticity. And I think that actually plays a strong role in this, paying attention to that with your brand. And also remembering the fact that you shouldn't be asking for advice or partnering with people that aren't going where you want to go or have already been there, right? And so like thinking of those two things, it kind of simplifies it, especially in terms of not just thinking, oh, we're like-minded, because I love the idea of kind of having something that's different, but a general shared sense of direction is important. And even though we're all going at different speeds, the direction's more important than the speed anyway. But that's something to consider. I definitely feel partnerships can help elevate your brand. And there is a more is more mentality that a rising tide lifts all ships.
Totally.
So we've been lucky in our brand to kind of have that. But I also feel like it doesn't come without that real sensibility to pay attention to and what they're doing. Because I just don't feel like it's about really sales anymore. Like, I know metrics are important and you need to like make more money than you're spending. Those are simple basics. But there's so much more to that now with every industry being so diluted. And so I think that's where the collaborations and the personality is so important.
Absolutely. If we just went by business school 101 and like, are the balance sheets balanced? How freaking boring would our professional lives be if we didn't just like think outside of, okay, am I doing this right? Does this make sense? Speaking personally, some of the most meaningful, fulfilling, inspiring points in my career and my life have been when I did things that didn't make sense. But I just trusted my gut to think like, no, this feels really aligned for me. I love this person and what they're doing. I just know that our compatible energies and, like you said, our directions are so aligned that whatever we do is going to make sense in some way. It's going to land in some way just because we have the right ingredients to make something really special.
Intuition.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, speaking of intuition, I want to talk a little bit deeper about personal brand. We've kind of touched lightly on the topic here and there, but we've seen firsthand from your career journey over the years that a powerful personal brand goes way beyond brand colors, fonts, logo, right?
It's really and those change all the time.
The amount of time I've spent in Canva trying to find the right shades, like, it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's really your energy, your vision, your reputation, how someone might describe you to someone else. What specifically do you think makes a really powerful personal brand that can take someone through the long game?
You already said it. I think reputation is something you absolutely have to pay attention to. And there is a strong sense of responsibility that comes with branding because your personality is so tied to it now. And I think it's only going to become stronger. And because of that, you have to put that work in every single day. And you have to treat every single person with the respect and acknowledgement that they deserve. And that requires patience. It requires realizing you can't just react to things. You have to give it time to respond and be really thoughtful, because emotions can play a really big role in branding and in your life and in your decision making. And the more you can try to separate that and think of this goal of a community, I think you build a reputation that becomes a safe place for people. You know, and I've talked about safety a lot. I talk about like that sense of belonging, but that's just so important in the atmosphere of your brand now. And when I thought about what had happened to me and I lost the access and control over the Instagram account that I always considered to be my personal account, right, and I couldn't reach that community anymore, I was so grateful for those in-person moments that I had. And those moments that were really genuine and really authentic and really loving, and that carried beyond the Instagram for me. And that was so important. I was like, well, thank goodness I wasn't a jerk to a bunch of people in real life, because, you know, I mean, that would have made a huge difference in that moment for me.
Absolutely. And in that moment, you literally could not rely on your name. You couldn't rely on the weight that came with the name that you had been using that was your brand. You couldn't just rely like, oh, people will know the name and they'll get it. Like, I can just rest on my laurels now. You truly had to trust. And it was a really profound show of like, no, my personal brand goes beyond my name. It is the interactions that people remember having with me. It's the energy they remember seeing on screen or when they wore something that I designed. And that, I think, what you have built over all of those years is why people were like, oh, she's building something new. We're there. Say no more. We're there. You know what I mean?
So grateful for that, for sure. Yeah, it's really scary to think about. And it's not like you have to have everyone love you, right? That's just not the way it's going to be. Right. You're going to burn energy and just be living for other people. But there is a synergy there. And bringing it back to like the accountability thing, I feel like it's really nice to have that type of friendship with the community. Because again, it's like you're showing up, they're showing up. It's you're both there, you know, and present, and then you rely on each other and grow from each other and evolve together.
Evolve together, right? We're on the journey together.
Yes.
And that's something else that is really separating traditional businesses from personal brand businesses, is that if you are invested in someone's personal brand, and even now that term is kind of feeling a little like, is that really the right
thing? I know.
You know, it can kind of sound a little cringe, but if you're invested in someone and what they believe in and their journey, and they find ways to bring you along with you on that journey, you get to evolve together. You get to change and share the same passions and experiences. And maybe we're thinking about the amazing shoes that we have on our feet today, and perhaps in a couple of years, it'll be shoes and home goods or whatever. But because we live in the world of Cheval and we are following this journey, it almost like, great, we just want to interact with whatever comes on this journey, and it's not about the actual product anymore.
Right. You're stepping into your own story,
right?
Even if it's a brand and we have our own brand story, it is really her story, which is actually why we did She Is Cheval, which is a phrase, because we love the idea of like, she is ongoing, she is fierce, she is whatever she wants to be. Mm-hmm. You know, so it kind of carries that theme of, it is a story, it's an ongoing story, and she became bigger than she ever imagined. You know, you hit it right. Perfectly said.
Well, I think what we're hitting on is kind of like a secret sauce or a special sauce that is essential when thinking about your personal brand, whether it's something you want to monetize or whether it's something that you bring to your 9-to-5 every day, right? In the way that you show up in meetings or interact with your colleagues. For anyone listening who's thinking, okay, I know I have potential, I know there's something in me, but how do I really get in touch with my secret sauce that sets me apart? What advice would you offer to them?
Definitely eliminate as many distractions as you can. because those can make you feel like, oh, I've got to try this. Oh, I've got to do this. And I think it starts first with realizing what you enjoy. What do you really enjoy doing? And what can you do every single day, right? Because I think when you have a brand, I've always had a really hard time selling because I don't like pushing product, even though that is what I do. You know, I make products and I want people to love them. But I hate the idea of like, oh yeah, it costs something. Yeah. You know, like I hate it. But so the way I looked at it is it's not selling, it's serving, right? It is selling, but it's serving. And it's providing this connectivity where you're relying on them to have this validation and excitement that they love it and you're creating. And I think when you really enjoy something, it does make you feel like you're not working every day. Like that line that if you love what you're doing, right, you know, you won't work a day in your life. You'll actually work every single hour of every day if you love what you're doing, actually.
That is so painfully true.
But it will make it easier to show up.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that kind of simplifies it, is to find something you really enjoy. And then do it every day. Do it as much as you can. Get better at it. Be a student of life where you're constantly learning. And put in those 10,000 hours so that you become one of the top percent, right?
Put in the reps.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. The reps. Perfect way to say it. Yeah.
Put in the reps. I completely relate to this, like the kind of like natural aversion to selling. When I sell career coaching or online courses, it took everything in me to like say, hey, you can click here and purchase, or like, let me know if you want to join, but it also costs money. I like, was just so,
yeah.
All I wanted to do is like, great, let's all have this. But I also think that speaks to someone's ability to choose and evolve their business models, right? Like if you identify that one certain way of selling or serving is just not aligned with your personality, or you're meeting so much resistance, you have the autonomy to choose how you structure your career, how you structure your business, how you deliver that value. Has that changed for you at all throughout your life?
Definitely. There's, excuse me, there's always a sense of evolution, I think, in the way you're presenting and your language as well. Like your language evolves and it's all progressive. Like I'm such an optimist in that, like, I think the world is typically getting better. And I know not everybody shares that idea, but I do think as knowledge becomes more prevalent and we're bombarded with a lot more images, and it actually creates more pockets for niche. And going back to actually your question about like, how do you find your special sauce and how do you find your purpose? I think you can be a lot more weird now, and you can be a lot more like nerding out on things because there's more of those pockets and avenues. And I like they say, the niches, the reaches are in the niches. I love that because it becomes a lot more specific. And with the vanity metrics there are now on Instagram, I think a lot of it can feel overwhelming and like, oh, I'm not doing enough. And, you know, I need to be doing smoothie videos and makeup tutorials and all this stuff. And it's what I tell people is just to really continually be focused on what's easy for you. What is that low hanging fruit? What can you do every day? And that's typically what your niche is, you know, and staying in that pocket. And also going back to what you're saying about like going up there and selling, and you know, I always have a hard time repeating myself because I'm like, oh, I feel like they already know this. You know, I'm like, oh, they've already seen this collection.
Sound like a broken record.
And you, right. Yes, and you feel like you have to continually be putting out something new. And what I told myself is I was like, slow your roll. Take your time with this collection because there is going to be new audiences that come in. And the people that are already there and loving and have already bought the shoes are still going to be wonderfully present and there and supporting and still be your muse. But you'll be able to reach more people that way, you know, and think about like getting your product in front of new audiences. Of course, you have to nurture your returning customers because that's everything. But just paying attention to the rhythm of things and evolving. And social media, I think, actually does make us be more accountable because you have to be close to the fire and pay attention to what's hitting and what's not. And it's a lot of work, you know, so I really commend people that continually show up and put the time into it.
Absolutely. You just made me think of something I hear a lot from folks who are interested in building a personal brand and diversifying their career outside of their corporate job or their 9-to-5 by building a personal brand is, I have nothing to say, or like, who really cares, or it's not that interesting. I watch people power wash their bathrooms on TikTok. Okay? Like, I watch people organize highlighters.
Yep,
like, post the video. Okay?
The organization videos. They like...
So addicting. I watch people test out whiteboard markers. Okay? Like, post the video. You have something to say. Exactly. If you, thousands of people are watching these videos, like, exactly. Your niche exists. Your corner of the it's internet there. And your people exist. They're there, right? Can you remember the moment you actually started to own your superpowers and get vocal and visible about what sets you apart?
It's tough to like pinpoint that moment, but I do think there are little pockets of sunshine that happen that you should really pay attention to, because no matter what, there's going to be ebbs and flows in your career and your journey. And like they say, it's always about the journey, not the destination. But for me, I think because I had a moment in my career that really felt like I almost lost it all, I now realize that everything is temporary. And so to honor those moments for yourself and realize how far you've come and pay your respects to your journey, I think is a really important part of anyone's personal development. And actually last night, I think we had talked about, you know, how do you know when you have arrived, right? And I just don't feel like I'm ever going to arrive. And I've almost accepted that as a point of, let's appreciate these moments that we do have when they feel really good, and know that it's not going to be like that forever, right? And that's the beauty of life, is that you're going to have these hard moments. I feel like I do have a hard story now, but I also have a very magical story, you know, and I can kind of pick and choose which moments I want to celebrate and be grateful for, because I operate from that gratitude every day and knowing that I'm forever a work in progress, yeah. Right?
Well, your past is not a place of residence. It's a place of preference.
That's right. Look at you.
Siobhan, one last question for all the Mavericks listening. Building a meaningful career can come with its fair share of challenges, as we've covered and we've seen from your story, whether it's recessions, layoffs, rejection, or really any setback, even in your personal life. What mantra anchors you to your determination when things feel really challenging?
I think it's go with grace. Mm-hmm. That's kind of always been my favorite phrase in business and life. And, you know, emotions can really cloud things. And it's so good to honor your emotions, of course. But I think paying attention to the control you do have and how you show up and how you respond to things, not react, but respond. I think that's where your power is. And I've never regretted a situation where I decided to just be graceful in my response, as opposed to say what I really want to say, you know, or like do what I really want to do. And I think there is some beauty in having that control as a superpower and saying, deep down, I know that this is happening. There's unrest in my soul, but what I'm going to express is something that's going to actually honor me, right? And it's going to protect my peace. And so I think that's probably the mantra for right now that's really working. I try to pay attention to.
Yeah, go with grace. And for right now, you just said for right now, because we all have the opportunity and the autonomy to evolve and to change.
Yeah, it could be go with grit later on, but we'll see.
We love that. That's
yeah.
Siobhan, thank you so much. This was a really, really helpful conversation.
Thanks for
Happy
coming.
Happy 2024.
You too.